ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 31। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज इंद्र ऑफेंड्स बृहस्पति। तस्मात् पितृणाम् अर्ताना अर्तिम् परपरा भवा तपसापनयम् सताता संदेशम कर्तुमर्हसे। ट्रांसलेशन। डियर सन, वी हैव बीन डिफीटेड बाय अवर एनिमीज एंड देयरफॉर वी आर वेरी मच अग्रीव्ड। प्लीज मर्सीफुली फुलफिल अवर डिजायर्स बाय रिलीविंग अवर डिस्ट्रेस थ्रू द स्ट्रेंथ ऑफ योर ऑस्टेरिटीज। प्लीज फुलफिल अवर प्रेयर्स। There is no purport. We'll take the next verse. Virinimahe tvapodhyayam brahmishtam brahmanam gurum yathanjasa vijeshyamaha saptanam stavatejasa. Since you are completely aware of the Supreme Brahman, you are a perfect brahmana, and therefore you are the spiritual master of all orders of life. We accept you as our spiritual master and director, so that by the power of your austerity, we may easily defeat the enemies who have conquered us. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One must approach a particular type of a guru to execute a particular type of a duty. Therefore, although Vishwarup was inferior to the demigods, the demigods accepted him as their guru to conquer the demons. Dear son, we have been defeated by our enemies and there. Hare Krishna. So we know this chapter quite well, Indra offending Brihaspati. And the recourse Indra took to avoid the consequences of that offense. Because of that offense, Indra eventually lost everything. And then he wanted to undo that act. And to undo that act, he took shelter of Vishwarup, the son of Tvasta, on the advice of Lord Brahma. And Brahma had already given some hint by saying that since he is the teacher of the demons, he would be partial to the demons. Now Indra had committed offense to Brihaspati by neglecting his coming. It is not the neglect which caused offense. It was the intention. Just like Shikshastakamra was mentioning when he was giving class. Suddenly Maharaj came. He is his spiritual master. So you got confused. And therefore he did not acknowledge his presence. Now that cannot be compared to the offense of Indra offending Brihaspati. And then because he came back and he was asking, you know, what should I have done? I did this wrong. So that shows the neglect was there, but the intention was not wrong. The intention was not arrogance or pride. Indra consciously offended Brihaspati. And because he consciously offended Brihaspati, even though he recognized his offense, but rather than going to Brihaspati, he kept on furthering his offenses. Now in the future we will see, Indra is taking shelter of Vishwarup. He became their teacher. But when he came to know that Vishwarup is offering oblations, the part of the share is giving to the demons, Indra is going to kill him and become more complicated. And then when Vritrasura appears, because of that offense, Tvasta would perform a sacrifice and invoke the powerful son. And this son, Vritrasur, is none other than a pure devotee of the Lord, who was Chitraketu Maharaj. Even though he came as a demon, his consciousness was the consciousness of a pure devotee. And Indra eventually going to offend him also. Yes, one may say Indra has the responsibility of being the king of the heavenly planets. He has to perform his duties. But even while performing one's duty, if the negligence is not repented properly to that exact person whom you have offended, the solution is quite complicated. Indra, therefore, you know, it's, and then he gets a lot of reactions. But on the other hand, we see Srimad Bhagavatam speaks exactly opposite of Indra's behavior. The whole culture of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada explains in the second canto, in the verse which talks about chanting the holy name of the Lord, Tadasma Saram Hridayam Batedam, Yad Grihyamanam Harinam Adeyam. One who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and while chanting, if the tears do not roll from his eyes, then such person's heart should be considered as made of steel frame. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that the whole culture of spirituality is to change our heart, to make it soft. And if that is not happening, one should recognize, one should realize it is only because of the offenses. So the whole Bhagavatam dispatches, or whole Bhagavatam explains what should be the disposition while practicing devotional service. When Parikshit Maharaj also, in fact, Parikshit offended the Brahmana sage much greater than Indra offended Brihaspati from a physical point of view. Indra simply neglected the presence of Brihaspati, but Parikshit Maharaj, when he was neglected by this Brahmana sage because Parikshit Maharaj was thirsty and he wanted water and the Brahmana was not responding, so Parikshit Maharaj took a dead snake. You can imagine, it's like ridiculing, ragging. He took the dead snake and he put it around the neck of the sage. That's much greater offense than the offense of Indra. But what was the difference? The difference was, not only Parikshit Maharaj recognized his offense, but at the same time, he started to rectify that offense. And how did he rectify? Parikshit Maharaj, when he was walking back to his kingdom, he said, I am such a sinful person. I am uncivilized. I don't have proper culture. And because of this background, I have committed such an offense. And because of this offense, Parikshit Maharaj is praying. He said, let whatever reaction is supposed to come, let it come. Let my strength, let my kingdom, let my opulence get destroyed. Indra is trying to get back his kingdom, get back his opulence, get back his strength. And is taking all kinds of recourses to get that. Willing to commit further offenses. But here Parikshit Maharaj, he is in fact inviting, let my strength, let my kingdom, everything get destroyed. So that I will not perform this act again. And that is the disposition for a devotee of the Lord. And therefore, when that curse was heard by Parikshit Maharaj, the son of that Brahmana, Shamikrishi, Shringi, he cursed Parikshit Maharaj that let this king die within 7 days. How did Parikshit Maharaj receive that? It's quite amazing, because he already developed that consciousness. His outlook of the whole situation became very, very transcendental. And therefore Parikshit Maharaj was able to see that this is again the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of my attachment to this matter, in the form of kingdom, in the form of wealth, ಜನ್ಮ ಜಾಯ ಶುತಗಾರ ಪಶು ದ್ರವಿಣ ಬಂಧುಷು ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕನೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕನೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಅಪ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್. ನಾವ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೋ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್, ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕರ್ಸ್ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಕರ್ಸ್ ಸೋ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ವೇ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಟು ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್. ದಿ ಫಿಯರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಸ್ ಕರ್ಸ್. ಇವೊಂದು ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಬರ್ತ್, ಬಟ್ ಹಿ ನೆವರ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್. ಹಿ ಸೆಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕರ್ಸ್ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಅಪ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ದಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವಾಸ್ ವಾಂಡರಿಂಗ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಲುಕಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ಡಮ್, when he came and he saw Kali personified. Now Kali was performing most heinous act. He was attacking a bull and attacking a cow. For a Kshatriya king who is raised in a Vedic culture, to see that somebody is attacking cow and a bull, it creates a great anger. And not only anger, Parikshit Maharaj has all the power. He's the king of the kings. And he is seeing that fault, he has the power to correct. So naturally that gave rise to anger in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj. He raised his bow and he was about to kill Kali personified. But then Kali personified took shelter of Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj forgave. Not only Parikshit Maharaj forgave Kali, rather, he gave a facility, he gave a place for Kali to reside. And this was the question raised by Shaunakadi Rishis. Shaunak Rishi asked this question, how Parikshit Maharaj simply punished Kali, did not kill him? Why this is so? Such a sin he was performing, he was attacking the cow and bull, he should have been immediately killed. But rather, Parikshit Maharaj not only killed Kali, he rewarded. The chapter Prabhupada names is Punishment and Reward of Kali. Why is that? And that is a very important character. Because Parikshit Maharaj took this decision, therefore when something happened in his own life, he could see good even in that adverse situation. Just imagine a one who has the power to correct. Nobody can say anything to Parikshit Maharaj for killing Kali personified. But even in Kali, Parikshit Maharaj saw something very good. And that is a very powerful disposition for a devotee. In Kali, who is the concentrated all faults, we find faults with devotees. How much fault they can exhibit? There is a limit because they are tiny, insignificant. But still we can see so many faults. People can write 100 pages later about one insignificant living entity is supposedly false. Now Kali is the personification of fault. He has nothing but faults. He is constantly manufacturing faults. But Parikshit Maharaj was able to see good in Kali also. And therefore Shaunak Rishi asked this question. How is that he was not killed? And what good Parikshit Maharaj saw in Kali? And Suta Goswami explains, because Parikshit Maharaj saw in personification of Kali, if I allow Kali to stay here, this Yuga, this Kali, will give greater facilities to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Suta Goswami explains, Parikshit Maharaj was a realistic. And at the same time, he had the power to grasp the essence of everything. And in this age of Kali, Suta Goswami explained that any act we perform, the pious activities you don't need to perform, you simply have to think that wish I could give millions of cows in donation. You got the benefit of giving all that cows. And what to speak of rendering devotional service? Rupa Goswami explains that simply by desiring that I want to be in Vrindavan, simply by that thought of being in Vrindavan, we get the benefit of being in Vrindavan. But on the other hand, impious activity, sinful activity one has to perform. Then only one gets reaction. And Parikshit Maharaj saw that. This is the benefit of giving shelter to Kali personified. Even though there are unlimited faults in Kali, it is not that he was simply intelligent. Rather, because he was a devotee, he had a devotee heart, he could see that in Kali personified. And therefore he said, you stay here. And because he allowed that, eventually when something happened to Parikshit Maharaj, even in that worst situation, rather than seeing the curse of a Brahmana boy, he saw Krishna. And because he saw Krishna, all these great sages, they came to Parikshit Maharaj. They were wonderstruck. Such a great king, he has renounced everything, going on the bank of the Ganga, and is willing to contemplate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They came to be inspired, not to enlighten Parikshit Maharaj. But by seeing all of them, Parikshit Maharaj was so happy. Again, he glorified his connection with the Pandavas. He said, what is my status? But because I am connected to the Pandavas, therefore I am getting the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he prayed to the great sages, he asked for three things. He said, my dear great sages, I aspire for three things. One is, if I have to come back to this material world, let there be complete attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then association of the devotees. And thirdly, friendly behavior to all the living entities. These are the three things Parikshit Maharaj requested, he prayed for. And we see that is the whole structure of the Srimad Bhagavatam. To experience actual Krishna consciousness, the power of the process of devotional service, there has to be a proper disposition of the heart. That is the whole line of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto, second canto, third canto, when Uddhava, he met Vidura. Now, who is Uddhava? Uddhava is a constant associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see sometime, if we have some connection with some superior, some powerful people, more than they being proud, those have the connection, they have a greater pride. They may be really insignificant because they have the connection with the powerful people. They act so whimsically. Just like sometimes the security guards. You know, they are standing at the gate, but they act so arrogantly. Of course, they are told to act like that, but sometimes they act more arrogantly. Why? Because they feel that connection is there. Now, Uddhava had such a powerful connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Constantly, he was associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Vidur came and approached Uddhava, and he asked many questions. And Uddhava was experiencing separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Vidur started asking this question, how did Uddhava respond to that? Uddhava begins to respond by saying that just see, we Yadavas, we took Krishna for granted. We thought Krishna to be one amongst us. And he gives the example of the moon rises from the ocean. And the other fish, they consider the moon to be one amongst them. He said, that is our position. We are so unfortunate. And then he remembers Krishna's pastimes. And while remembering the pastimes of Krishna, he also talks about Krishna's compassion, Krishna's karuna, Krishna's mercy. And he talks about how this Putana, even though she came with bad intention to kill Krishna, the Lord was so merciful, he delivered her. And then Uddhava explained that according to my opinion, now he's speaking, his heart. He says, Manne Suran Bhagavatam Strayadishe. He said, my dear Vidura, according to my opinion, the demons are much better situated than me. Why? Because when they were attacking Krishna, they saw the Lord face to face. And they were thinking of Krishna. And in this way, they attained liberation. Therefore, I conclude their absorption, their position is much greater than my position. This is not a reality. This is humility. This is not the technical reality of the Shastra, but that is the reality for Uddhava. From his subjective point of view, he is considered that to be reality, that the demons are much greater than him. Similarly, in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, we see when Narad Muni was narrating the pastime of Prahlad, when Sukadeva Goswami brings Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj's conversation, Parikshit Maharaj is shocked to see that how Lord could be partial. He took the side of the demigods and killed the demons. In the sixth canto, in conclusion, Sukadeva Goswami narrated that how Lord killed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And that created a doubt in Parikshit Maharaj. Apparent doubt. Therefore, in the seventh canto, raised that question, how the Lord was Nirgun could side with the demons, with the demigods, and harm the demons. And Sukadeva Goswami was amazed by that question. He congratulated Parikshit Maharaj and he starts narrating. He explained how Krishna is Nirgun, how Krishna is transcendental. According to the modes, one is affected, his favors and his punishment. And then he said, similar question was raised in the assembly of Hastinapur by your great grandfather, Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then he narrated how Narad Muni, when Yudhishthira saw that the soul of Shishupal or Shishupal merging into the body of Lord, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was shocked. He said, this person from his very childhood, the first word came out the mouth of Shishupal was the curse of Krishna. Just imagine that from his early childhood he had cultivated offenses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Shishupal is supposed to be having a white leprosy, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, but still he was very stout and strong. He didn't get any curse, he didn't get any condemnation, rather he was given liberation. This surprises me. And when Narad Muni heard this question, he became very humble. He also explained the same thing. My opinion is that the demon's absorption is much greater than my absorption. Their position is much greater than my position. And we don't follow the advice of Narad Muni because this is again his humility. He's putting himself in that position. And then Prahlad Maharaj also we see when he was offering prayers. Now the Lord has come for Prahlad Maharaj. And all the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, all the Gandharvas, Mother Lakshmi, she could not pacify by their prayers. First of all, you know the Lord has come only for your sake. And all the demigods are not able to pacify. And the demigods are pushing, Lord Brahma is pushing Prahlad. Now you go and pacify the Lord. How is it possible not to feel special after personally observing this? It's a human psychology. A success always brings pride. Prahlad Maharaj is most successful in inviting the Lord, getting his mercy. The demigods have failed. And they are saying, now you go, you can actually pacify. We see sometime, you know, devotees tell the stories of their connection. And usually, sometime it happens that consciously or unconsciously, we make ourselves also special to receive that mercy. We may speak philosophically that how we are fallen, but there is some kind of that feeling is there. I am little special. But when Prahlad Maharaj was asked by the demigods, you go and approach and you pacify the Lord. And then what did Prahlad say? The first thing he said, Brahmadaya Suragana Munayota Siddha. He said, my dear Lord, all these great demigods, Brahma, all the demigods, the Gandharvas, what kind of prayers they are offering? Their prayers are of the most high class prayers, prolific speakers. If they cannot pacify you, how me, Ugra Jate, born of a demonic family, can pacify you? How is it possible? That is the first disposition of Prahlad Maharaj. He offers prayers like that. And then he speaks such a beautiful prayers, glorifying Lord Narsingdev and condemning his background. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere, in all the 12 cantos, it presents this kind of consciousness of devotees. And when devotees practice this consciousness, constantly remember this disposition, then the process of Krishna consciousness becomes very pleasing. When we practice the process of Krishna consciousness, it becomes pleasing to us. And at the same time, when others see our devotional practices, they also become very satisfied. Unfortunately, the conditioned soul, he always sees how others are doing wrong to him, the relative wrong. Without recognizing his eternal wrong he has done against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have rebelled against the Supreme Lord eternally, billions of lifetime, and we are suffering our own reaction for that sin. And without recognizing that, if somebody does something wrong to us, you know, that becomes a prominent thought in our mind, that how he did wrong to me. Injustice took place against me. And we forget the ocean of faults which we have committed. And when we approach Krishna with this attitude that I am right and others are wrong, and we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then that mantra, rather than melting our heart, you know, it is creating a stronger cementing. Already the steel frame is there, and this attitude, what does it do? It creates further cementing of that steel frame. And the chanting becomes more and more mechanical. But when this disposition is there, the disposition of, I am all wrong, I took Krishna so lightly, like Uddhav, Prahlad Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, and then the appearance of the Lord becomes very easy. And that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. See Mother Kunti also. And therefore, in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about Striyo Vaishyastata Shudratepi Anti Param Gatim, there Prabhupada talks about Vepashrita. Vepashrita means special shelter. What is that special shelter? That disposition again. Because of the disposition that we have been recognized as fallen, when you are recognized as fallen, then when we approach Krishna, there is nothing to have pride for, that I am fallen. That has been concluded. We are Shudras, low-born. So when we approach with that attitude, that becomes a very specialized shelter. And then Krishna's mercy becomes very abundantly available. But if we have the background of being born in a nice family, aristocratic family, great family, so many wealth, and approaching Krishna with that piety, there is always that tendency that I am approaching Krishna because it is Shastra and I have understood the Shastra, but I take shelter of this superficial things, and therefore it lacks that intensity. Therefore Mahaprabhu explained, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukasya. How bhajan becomes very easy to practice? One who recognizes that I am nishkinchana from every aspect, that I am fallen and low. And then the bhakti, the bhajan, is very nice to perform. So therefore we read that Indra's action, of course, Indra is a devotee of the Lord. We are nobody to judge. You know, he is teaching lessons for us how we should not act like this. Because Indra took this action of material solution, he was furthering himself in complicating of offenses. And on the other hand, the Parikshit Maharaj and other great devotees, their recourse was, this is justly done to me. This was supposed to happen. and let this happen so that I would not create sin again in my next activities. And because of that spiritual solution, he was inviting, he was attracting the attention of not one sadhu. Hundreds of sadhus came to bless Parikshit Maharaj. And eventually the greatest of the Paramhamsas, Sukadeva Goswami, came. And he starts narrating the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or question?
Keeping Indra as a devotee and offense to Brihaspati as a Vaishnava aparad, the solution was given by Brahmaji is to approach Vishwaroop, someone else other than Brihaspati. Generally we say Vaishnava aparad means we have to beg forgiveness from the same person. So is it a spiritual solution? You mentioned material, but in that light what we should understand?
Now what is the last one?
If it is material, it's okay, but still Brahmaji is advising Indra to approach Vishwaroop, not begging forgiveness from Brihaspati personally. Is there anything about this?
Again, if we see from the whole perspective of Vaishnava philosophy, you know, it's not that if he had taken a higher recourse, Brahma would have said, no, still you do it, go to Vishwaroop only. Sometimes the advice is given based upon our level. But from the overall perspective, it is better to follow in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj. Guru may say, you know, okay, you do this much. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you only do that much. If he can offer full life to the service of spiritual master, would he say, no, you are disobeying my orders? That is, you know, understanding the heart and following the higher levels of instruction of the spiritual master. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited by Raghunath Das Goswami regularly to partake of his prasadam, which was sponsored by his parents. And suddenly stopped inviting Lord Chaitanya without informing him that, you know, I cannot invite you. And Mahaprabhu said, why is he not inviting me? Then they were told that, no, because he thought that still having that connection with the family when he has accepted the renounced order of life, it is no good. Therefore, he has stopped. He simply stands and begs. What did Mahaprabhu say? He said, very good. Lord Chaitanya appreciated Raghunath Das Goswami's higher levels of renunciation. So therefore, again, the tendency of the conditioned soul is to accept something which can be easily performed. A lower levels of ideal behavior, rather than trying to aspire for the best from the Shastra. That is the tendency of living entity. Just like how people try to evade the taxes by finding some loopholes. Similarly, the same mentality is also brought by the conditioned soul while practicing spiritual culture. How less should I do so that I can attain Krishna's mercy? Then it is not bhakti, it is a karmakand. Bhakti means how more I can offer to Krishna, as Parikshit Maharaj did, as Narad Muni did, as Uddhava did. He was willing to take greater punishment. His action was so insignificant in one sense. That's what Prabhupada repeatedly says. And even the Brahmana did not take it very seriously. Only the foolish child of a Brahmana, because he had some power, he wanted to exhibit that, he took it seriously. But the Brahmana did not take it seriously. But Parikshit Maharaj, you know, the reaction what he wanted to take was so great. Can you imagine? He's praying that let my kingdom, let my wealth, let my power be destroyed, so that I should not commit again. His sin is so insignificant, but the reaction what he is asking for is too much. But that is devotee. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is the one who is glorified in the Srimad Bhagavatam more than Indra, because of that disposition. So therefore, technically, why Brahmaji told may not be mentioned, but from overall picture, you know, this is what is the behavior, aspired behavior for a devotee. This is what we aspire for. And then when that is there, the sanity prevails. First thing is to recognize that itself is a great gift of the Lord. That we recognize our sin. Like in London, some proper disciples were discussing. First is recognition. Second is repentance. Third is rectification. And fourth is reunion. These are the four levels. If we don't recognize our fault, there is no repentance. And if there is no repentance, there is no rectification. And there is no rectification, there is no yoga again. There is no reunion. So therefore, you know, Indra recognized, but he took a material solution to get back his kingdom. But Parikshit Maharaj recognized, repented, but not only repented, he rectified. While they were discussing, somebody talked about in Christianity there is a lot of, you know, emphasis given on repentance. You keep crying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. But Maharaj is mentioning, Radhan Maharaj mentioned, he said in Gaudiya Sampradaya, repentance is part of rectification. You do something positive. You engage in devotional service of the Lord. And then another devotee said, yes, Prabhupada, one time Satsarup Maharaj, you know, some small mistake he did, and Prabhupada chastised him, and he was crying, weeping. Prabhupada said, what will you do next? He said, the tears are okay, but rectify the mistake. So repentance is part of the rectification process. And then it brings a reunion. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj not only recognized, repented, and expected a rectification, and therefore he was reunited with Krishna. That is Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki.